Hi, everybody. I'm John Torrance. Welcome to our podcast channel. I know that you will be blessed by today's message.
This morning, we're going to be talking about the most beneficial relationship that we can ever experience. And it is found in a strategic alliance that we call a covenant. In this covenant arrangement, this beneficial arrangement, God brings His best so that you and I can live our best. I do believe that it is the will of God that you live the best life. Would you tell the person next to you, God has purpose for you to live your best life. Everyone here at the Jesus Dome, everyone watching online, God desires that you live your best life. And it is in a covenant, it's what God has purposed to do, that God raises you and I to a blessed and beneficial position. In other words, prior to that covenant, we weren't quite living in that favored position. But when that strategic alliance, this blood covenant was forged, and you came and was part of that covenant, you agreed to the terms of that covenant, part of what happened to you is that God raised you to a beneficial position. It's in this strategic alliance that God generously releases His provision and He provides an unwavering protection to you. And without the strategic alliance that we would have with God, you and I are left hopeless, you and I are left vulnerable, and you and I are left exposed. And we've heard our pastor say this so many times, God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping, covenant-revealing, covenant-enabling God. Oh, I thought I'd get one amen here this morning. God is a covenant-making, a covenant-keeping, a covenant-revealing, and a covenant-enabling God. He's a covenant-making God, which means that the idea of a covenant strategic alliance does not come from us. No human being put the idea of this covenant together. God and God alone is the one who makes covenant. We can try, and if we didn't know what the terms of those covenants were, we could try and put a covenant together, and let me tell you, we would exercise all the imagination that we had. We would have a think tank. We would have focus groups. But when we draw on the best and the most creative and the most talented, when we put that covenant together, when we kind of design and put it and act as architects over that covenant, and we match it to what God presents to us, it would be way short. God is a covenant-making God. God alone is the one who has the mind, the authority, the ability to design such a covenant. And only God can ensure that the promises of those covenants is met. Only God can ensure that every promise that forms part of that covenant is met. The Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 9, He provided redemption for His people. He ordained His covenant forever. Notice it is His covenant. It's not our covenant. It's His covenant. Holy and awesome is His name. When God entered into covenant with Noah, He said, I will establish my covenant with you. It's His covenant. He's the architect of that covenant. When God entered into covenant with Abram, He said in Genesis 17:2, I will establish my covenant. It was His covenant between me and you. Covenant is the greatest manifestation. Hear me this morning. Covenant is the greatest manifestation of the love and of the grace and of the mercy of God. If you want to see love blossom and grow and glow and be evident, you'll see it in a covenant relationship. If you want to see how mercy looks its best, you will see it in a covenant relationship. Covenant is God's answer to every weakness that we have, to every inadequacy, to every deficiency. The answer of God to all of that in our lives is covenant. Because God honestly does not want you and I, family, to be yoked to limitations. You know those limitations that you face? God does not want you under those limitations. God doesn't want you to be distracted. God doesn't want you to be laboring under inadequacy. And the answer to limitations and distraction and inadequacy is God brings us into His covenant. Every strategic blood covenant alliance with God corrects the weaknesses and the deficiencies that we face in our lives. It's the best thing that you can do to come into covenant with God. God's covenant raises us higher than our limitations. Whatever it is that you are struggling with, when you come into covenant with God, He lifts you up. He sidesteps the disadvantage. He pushes aside the distraction. When Abraham was at a disadvantage, God was talking big things, and he didn't have an heir. He was old. Sarah was barren. How is it that God could do all that He said in His covenant with Abram? But God had a covenant plan to push everything aside, because God desires to raise you higher than your limitation. God desires to raise you higher than what holds you back. In covenant, that is destroyed. You are unyoked. You are disentangled from everything that holds you back when you come into covenant with God. In Genesis chapter 15, this is what the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And this man, God said to Abraham, this man will not be your heir, talking about Ishmael, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then what he did to Abraham is significant, family. And I do believe that God is doing the same today with Durban Christian Center, every single one of us. Look and see what God did. He took Abraham outside. Would you say outside? God took Abraham outside. Where was he? He was in a tent made of goatskin. The limitations of the flesh, the inadequacies, the things that we cannot do in the natural. God took him outside and he said to Abram, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. I believe that this morning, God is going to take us out of our limitation. And he says to you, Durban Christian Center, look up, see what it is that I have designed for you. See my promise. See what it is that I am in covenant with you in. And you will begin to experience everything that I have made by way of covenant. That's what God says to us this morning. When God was speaking to Abraham, he was saying in the natural, Abraham, you are at a disadvantage, but I am going to do a miracle for you. And I hear the Lord say to Durban Christian Center, I am going to do a miracle for you. I am going to do the impossible. Is there anything too hard for me? And let me tell you, the impossible is made manifest in this covenant relationship. He was saying to Abraham, look up, Abraham. Don't focus on your problem. Don't get distracted by your disadvantage. I am going to make you a father of many nations. Only God can talk to us like that. If anybody else does, we'll say, yes, but what about this and what about that? Because they are limited themselves. But when you have a God who is without limit begin to talk big to you like that, then you know it's going to happen. That miracle is going to happen. He's a covenant-making God, but He's also a covenant-keeping God. God keeps and honors every covenant that He makes. And let me tell you this morning, family, He does not forget, and God does not become negligent with that covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love, keeping His covenant of love, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14, he said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven and on earth. And why is there no God like him? Because you keep your covenant of love. Psalm 111, verse 5, God provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. He is a covenant-making and he's a covenant-keeping God. But he's also a covenant-revealing God, because for that covenant to take effect, you and I must know what that covenant is all about. We can't enter into something that we don't know. And God openly speaks about his promises, and he openly speaks about the terms of his covenant with us. If he doesn't tell us, if he doesn't inform us, then we are ignorant of every covenant possibility that could be made manifest in our lives and in our business and in our marriage. In Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the wise counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. And notice what the Bible says. And he will let them know his covenant and reveal to them through his word its deep inner meaning. I believe that God is a covenant-making God. I believe that he is a covenant-keeping God. He is a covenant-revealing God, and he is a covenant-enabling God. He enables you and I to fulfill our part of the covenant. It's called enabling grace. You say, but I'm weak, I can't do it. But look and see what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were dead. How many of you know that there is no way we can keep something if we are irresponsive to what God is saying? Once we were dead in our sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. But because, hear me this morning, church, but because of God's great love, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ. We were dead. But he loves us, and he's richly merciful towards us. And what did he do? He made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, we couldn't help ourselves. But because of his love, and because of his mercy, and because of his grace, he came to you and I, and he said, you who are dead in your sin, I'm coming and I'm making you alive with Jesus. And then he says, but now Christ Jesus... But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, you who were once dead, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's enabling grace. That word covenant means to select the best. This is God's best for you. Would you tell the person next to you, covenant is God's best for you? There's no better way than being in covenant. Covenant is God's best for you. In 1 Samuel 17:8, Goliath stands on that hill and he taunts the armies of Israel and he says, choose a man to have him come down to me. What was he saying? He was saying, give me your best. Do you know that that word choose is what is used for covenant? It's a root word for covenant. In other words, God is saying, in covenant, I'm giving you my best. This is my best to you. And in this covenant family, you and I are protected, you and I are favorably positioned, and you and I are abundantly provided for. Let me say that again. In this covenant, you and I are protected, you and I are favorably positioned, and you and I are abundantly provided for. Would you say this after me? I am in a blood covenant with Jesus. I am set in the blessings of this covenant. I benefit from this covenant. I am protected. I am favorably positioned. And I am abundantly provided for. Would you find somebody close by? You're going to preach a little bit about where you are in your covenant. Would you find somebody else? Would you say, I am protected. I am favorably positioned. And I am abundantly provided for. Do you believe that this morning? That's what God has done for you. He served you his best. It's the best. Whenever anyone would go into covenant, cut covenant, there were 9 things that they would do that by extension God has done for you and I. We're talking about God's best for you this morning. For those of you that are watching online, God's best. There was a specific ceremony that they would follow in Bible times, and they would be so sure to follow each and every one of these steps. Here are 2 gentlemen. They are chiefs of their tribes, and representing their tribes, they are now going to enter into covenant with each other. The first thing that any 2 covenanting parties would do is the 2 parties would remove their coats, and they would give their coats to each other. And that coat would represent the entirety of their person. This is who they are. When Jesus called blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, the first thing he does is he throws his coat aside. And what he was saying is, begging is my old identity. And I'm throwing that aside. I'm encountering Jesus. He's going to change me from a beggar into someone who has purpose in life, someone who's walking in authority, someone who's walking in the blessing. And that's exactly what happens. When they exchanged their jackets, they were saying, begging is my old identity, and I'm throwing that aside. Jesus is giving me a new identity. It's no longer what others say about me. It's no longer what the teacher says about me, but I take on the identity of what Jesus gives me. I wonder if you guys could come forward. I promise you, I did brush my teeth this morning. They look fearful. When we swap robes in this covenant ceremony, what in effect we are saying is, I am giving all of myself to you, my being and my life, I pledge to you. And it's in this covenant, the best that God has for us, that God gives us his absolute best. He gives his best to you, family. And we, in response, we pledge our commitment and our allegiance and our love and our worship and our adoration. We give it all back to God. We're in covenant with him. After swapping their coats, they would take their belts, and they would remove their belts, and they would give their belts to each other. And in Bible times, belts were used to hold your weapons. In other words, your armor was kept in your belt. And really what they were saying is, we are giving our strength, all of my strength. I'm vulnerable before you, and all of my strength, all of my support, and all of my protection, I give to you. You give me your protection, and I give you my protection. I'm giving you my strength. I'm giving you my ability to fight. I will protect you as vehemently as I protect myself. Any attack against you is as good as an attack against me. Oh, I love that, because when Paul, or Saul as he was then known, was persecuting the church, when he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, although he was persecuting the church, Jesus said, you are persecuting me. Don't persecute me, because when you come into covenant relationship with God, to touch you is to touch Jesus. He's your backup. He's your protection. He's your strength. We are in a covenant, a blood covenant, family, of comprehensive protection. God promises you protection. You are the protected of God because you are in covenant with God. And I'd like to share some scriptures with you. Are you ready for this morning? Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. You will not have to do anything but stay calm. And I speak over you, Durban Christian Center, and say all you would need to do, because you are in covenant with Jesus, is stay calm. Why? The Lord will do the fighting for you. Psalm 91 verse 9, verse 1, Psalm 91 verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow, the protection from the harsh sun. You will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Sickness cannot withstand that power. Oh, I tell you, mental disease cannot withstand that power. Verse 5, and you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and the slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. And God says to you, Durban Christian Center, none shall come near you. That's what God says. This is a covenant of protection. Psalm 125 verse 2, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord's wraparound presence surrounds his people, protecting them now and forever. It's not just a protection today, it's a protection now and forever. How about Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33? But those who listen to me, wisdom, now will live under divine protection. And I declare over you, prophetic, Durban Christian Center, that you live under divine protection. They can rest. You can rest knowing that you are out of harm's way. The bullets may be flying, the gangs may be running, but you can rest. You've got the wraparound presence of God, and you are out of harm's way. How about Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 21? No actual evil, misfortune, or calamity shall come upon the righteous. And I say over you, Durban Christian Center, no evil will come upon you. No misfortune will come upon you. No calamity will come upon you. You are in a blood covenant of protection with God Almighty. Proverbs 18 verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man, upright and in right standing with God, runs into it and is safe, high above evil and strong. You high above calamity, high above evil, high above all those opinions, high above sickness. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Would you say this with me this morning, family? Here we go. We're going to declare this. This is one of our prayer and fasting declarations. Would you say this with me? Here we go. One, two, three. Because of our covenant with God, we have protection through the blood of Jesus. I want to hear you this morning. The blood of Jesus is holy, righteous, sinless, and perfect blood. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. Can you say that again? There is still power in the blood of Jesus. That power is available to us because of our covenant with God. The voice of Jesus' blood speaks for our good and well-being. It does not cry out for vengeance, unlike Abel's blood. Instead, it cries out and tells us that there is mercy, grace, hope, compassion, forgiveness, and love for all mankind. Because of our covenant with God, the angels of God are encamped round about us. Let's say that again. Because of our covenant with God, the angels of God are encamped round about us. Our covenant with God attracts angelic activity in our lives. We have angels of God that have been dispatched to watch over us, to protect God, and even come to our aid and rescue. You in Jesus' name. Wonderful. Wonderful. The third thing that they would do is they would cut covenant. What they would do is they would take an animal and they would cut that animal in half, and they would walk around that animal, blood flowing all over the place, and it was symbolic that they were dying to themselves, like that animal died, that they were saying, we are dying to ourselves. that the old identity, we are no longer walking in that old identity, that we are bound to each other. We're giving up our lives like that animal gave up its life. We're giving up our lives so that we can start a whole new life. We bonded together. And we've been bonded with Jesus, family. There is a sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's Hill. And no longer are we motivated by self. We've lost the singleness mindset once and for all. It's been forfeited. And now it's about you and God, you and Jesus, you and the Holy Spirit living your life together. There is a new mindset. There is a new manner of living. And by walking between those animals, they were saying, if I do not hold to the agreement of this covenant as they walk, if I do not hold to the agreement of this covenant, you can do to me what we did to this animal. God, do so to me and more if I even try to break this covenant, because covenant is never, ever broken. When God enters into covenant with Abram, there is the killing of those animals, the heifer and the goat, and so it goes on. And God would walk in Genesis 15. He would walk. He was the one that walked, because he was saying, the only one that can fulfill this covenant is me. God and God alone can fulfill that covenant. Abraham didn't even walk amongst those animals. Then they would raise their right arm and they would mix their blood. And those parties together would then swear allegiance to each other. And they intermingled their blood and they were saying, our lives are coming together. There's a fusion of our lives together. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the creature is in the blood. It's interesting that they would do this on their palms. The Bible tells us that God has written our names in the palms of his hands in Isaiah 49:16. That means that whatever God does, he sees your name and he realizes and recognizes and upholds and honors the fact that that you are in covenant with him. And whatever he does for you honors his covenant. Then they would exchange names. Your last name would become my last name, and my last name would become your name. It was a change of identity and a change of position. And I do believe, family, that God in covenant has changed our position. We have a new position. Would you say new position? Would you say better position? You have been raised and you have been seated with Christ. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He raised us up together with him. You have been raised with Jesus. This is what happens in covenant. You are no longer living down here. You're living raised. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, and he has made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with Jesus. Have you ever watched that show, The Voice? And they've got that chair and it moves around. But there are some where two people are sitting. There's one seat and there's another seat. And when the one seat, it's a combined seat, joint sitting. You have joint sitting. You have joint sitting with Jesus Christ. He's lifted you up. And what God did for Jesus, he has done for you. We are participating in all that Jesus accomplished here on the earth today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, and yes, you have, you have been raised to a new life, sharing in the resurrection from the dead. In other words, we are living on the other side of a death to self. And how can we enjoy that? Because we're in Christ Jesus. Would you tell the person next to you, you are in Christ Jesus. You are in unity with Jesus. If Jesus died, when you are in covenant, you come into participation with that, even though you come into covenant many, 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 many years from that time that Jesus died. But when you die, when Jesus died, you came into agreement with that and you began to have the power of that death reflected in your life, and there was a death to self. And so you and I are those where Christ lives in us, Galatians 2:20. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God. This is not you doing and trying and attempting. No, this is Jesus living on the inside of you. Jesus is the one who's loving your enemy. Jesus is the one who's allowing you to turn the other cheek. Jesus is the other one who allows you to walk in victory. How many of you can understand that this morning? There is something wonderful that takes place. You know, if you really think about it, if you can't walk very fast, you are limited to your own speed. But if you were to get into something that's bigger than you and faster than you and more able than you, you say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Jesus. He's not subject to our limitation. I can't go this fast in the natural. I'm not able to go and accomplish all of this in my own strength and ability. But if Jesus can go faster, and if I am in unity, and if I am in Christ Jesus, I've been raised, family, and you are raised this morning. You are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's not hard for me. We're going. This is moving fast, better than what I can do. If you've got a limp, if you've got some limitation or weakness, and you say, well, I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it in the natural. But look what you can do in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm in covenant with Him this morning. Look what you can do in Christ Jesus. You can do what you cannot do in the natural. You can rise higher than what you can't do in the natural. You can live bigger. You can see the promises fulfilled in your lives, because what limits you is being pushed aside. And Jesus says, come, I'm going to make you one with me. And just like that vehicle went faster than what we could do, it could go further. So it is that you and I go faster and further in Christ Jesus. We're in a favorable position. There is a declaration that I'd like for us to speak this morning. This is the second one. Family, would you join with me as we say this together? We're gonna speak this strong over our lives. Here we go. Our God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. He remembers His covenant with us, and we remember our covenant with Him. Our covenant positions us strategically and supernaturally to be the most effective we can be on this earth. And because of our covenant with God, we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Because of our covenant with God, we are many members but one body in Christ. Because of our covenant with God, we have access to boldly enter His presence. Because of our covenant with God, we have the right to be called sons and daughters of God. The best life to live is a life in covenant with Jesus. They would make a scar, and that scar would be a perpetual reminder, I'm not alone, I'm not forsaken. Henry Stanley, when he went and looked for the source of the Nile, 50 times he cut covenant with different chiefs. And if one little chief came and interfered with him, he would lift up the scars and say, do you really want to come against all 50 of us? Because if you're coming against me, you're coming against these 50. We've joined identity with each other. We're one. They are my protection, and I am their protection. And then they would give covenant terms to each other. And they would say, everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And then they would eat a meal. I know it's fasting time. I gave them permission. They were moaning this morning. And what they would do, and this is absolutely true, they would feed each other. They would feed each other the bread and the wine, wine which is the blood of grapes, because they were saying, now we are one. And what we have entered into is unbreakable. And then the final thing that they would do is they would take a tree. and they will sprinkle blood on that tree. And that became a memorial. We're in covenant.
We trust you enjoyed this message. To stay connected to Durban Christian Center, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and download our DCC Church app. Hop onto our website for any information you might need about the Durban Christian Center. If you are in Durban, South Africa, we would absolutely love for you to join us at our Sunday morning services at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can find us at 39 Garth Road, Mabel. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.